This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. ISIS, Ebola, tensions between Russia and the Ukraine, economic slowdowns in Europe, China, Latin America, and elsewhere. The profusion of gloomy headlines added up to a grim day on Wall Street yesterday as the Dow plunged more than 450 points. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here to tell us what all of this could mean for Detroit's car makers. And here, Daniel, we get the heaviest day of trading in more than 3 years. The bad news from Wall Street comes exactly as General Motors announces some shiny happy news.
Yes, that they sold more cars in the third quarter than any time in 34 years. You know, General Motors, largely powered by the United States, Canada, and China, and a lot of other parts of the world. The car business stinks for GM and for a lot of other people. But those hot spots are really propelling them to record numbers. So it's really kind of a good story, but, you know, there's a lot of external things that GM cannot control or the industry cannot control that are weighing on them. The markets being one of them. I think Ebola, I think a lot of people are on nerve. They don't kind of know where this is headed and whether the administration or the CDC, which is technically part of it, knows what the heck they're doing.
Yeah, in fact, I thought you put it very succinctly in your column when you say investors and buyers have eyes and they can see governments are muffing the effort to destroy ISIS and contain Ebola.
Oh, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, you see the comments and you see people doing interviews on television and asking simple questions. Well, why can't we enact a travel ban? And you get some gobbledygook answer that is laden with a bunch of stuff that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. The timing for the administration is terrible, you know, 3 weeks before the midterms, midterm elections, and the party in control of government is likely to pay the price, irrespective of which party it is. In this case, it happens to be the Democratic Party.
And it's something we have to remember that, you know, whether you're a civilian or you're an investor and you read headlines like, oh, the CDC was called by the nurse who traveled to Cleveland and flew, and even though she said she had a fever, they said go ahead and fly. People see that. And as you say, investors see that, too. And that's what we saw yesterday.
Well, that's right. And we live in a listen, we all know this, but it bears repeating. We live in a 24/7 wired world. You know, it used to be that it would take a while for people and investors and others to react to news. Now they can react instantaneously. Mm-hmm. And whether it's an investor holding too much equity in the wrong positions and not enough government bonds, which they think are relatively more safe, or if somebody who is considering going out and replacing their 8-year-old car and says, you know what, I think I'll just hang on to it and I'll keep driving it because it still runs. Those kind of discussions can be and decisions can be made instantaneously. And you start to see that. You'll see it in everything from showroom traffic to what people are willing to spend in terms of discretionary income. So I think we have to really, we're in a very uncertain kind of period right now, and markets clearly hate uncertainty.
The last big economic meltdown, we saw GM and Chrysler get thrown into bankruptcy. How do you think the automakers, after all of that, how would they weather anything resembling a replay?
Well, that's a great question. And I think you could make the argument, as I kind of did in today's column, that these are fundamentally different companies than they were in 2008. All of them have got much lower debt loads. Their break-even point, namely their ability to generate cash and profits, is much lower than it's been in any time in any of our lifetimes. These markets could lose 10-20% even or more in volume, and particularly in the United States, and they would continue to be profitable. Now, it doesn't mean it wouldn't be tough, but they wouldn't be pushed to the brink. So the operating leverage that all of these companies have is much greater, and General Motors as well as Ford. Chrysler's in a little different situation with Fiat as its new owner, but I think even they would contend that they could weather this better. So I don't think you would see a repeat of 2008 or a repeat of 1992 like you saw at General Motors after Saddam Hussein went into Kuwait when the recession came and it culminated in a boardroom coup. That type of thing, I think it's far less likely because they have a lot more ability to generate cash around the world.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.
I'm Cynthia Canty. Stateside on Michigan Radio fulfills your need to know about what's going on in our state. That's why you listen, and that's why we're asking for you to become a supporter at 888-258-9866 or michiganradio.org. Listener contributions pay for the news reports, the analysis, and discussion that you hear on Stateside every single day. A gift of $5, $10, or $50 a month is all it takes. You can do your part by going online at michiganradio.org or calling 888-258-9866. Zoe Clark is here now to tell you more about the fall membership drive.